I am a 20-year-old female, but the story took place when I was 11. I was with my younger cousin, who was also a female, and was around 8 years old at this time. We will call her Julie. Our small town was located on the outskirts of Rockford, Illinois. It has a notorious reputation for drugs, violent crime, and sex trafficking. I lived in a neighborhood with a Casey's gas station within walking distance. I would often go there with my friends to buy energy drinks, snacks, and junk food. I could go there pretty much whenever I wanted to, since nobody had to drive me there. My parents didn't keep too close of an eye on me, and I was a fairly self-sufficient kid for my age, which was definitely to my advantage in this experience. One night, Julie and I decided to have a sleepover at my house. I told my parents we were going to walk to the gas station to grab some drinks with my leftover birthday money. They were talking and drinking with my aunt and uncle, and just sorta shooed us away. It took us maybe 10 to 15 minutes to walk there. As we were entering the parking lot, we saw a big semi-truck parked in front of the building. This wasn't that unusual, especially if supply is being dropped off. As we were walking past it, a middle-aged man came out of the gas station and asked us how we were doing. We were polite kids, so we stayed and talked with him for a couple of minutes. "Do you girls like horses?" We both replied, "Yes." "There are a couple of thoroughbreds in the trailer if you want to look at them real quick." Julie got really excited and instantly agreed, and begins to make her way to the other side of the truck. I hesitated, feeling that something was really off about this situation for two reasons. One, there wasn't a diesel pump at this gas station, and this man didn't seem to be dropping off any supplies at the store. There was another gas station that did have diesel pumps less than a mile down the road. Two, the trailer wasn't the right kind for him to have horses in it. Horse trailers have large windows so that the horses can breathe and whatnot. If you were to put a horse inside the trailer that he was hauling, it would have suffocated. This was the biggest red flag for me. There was no way he actually had horses in his trailer. He took a step closer to us, and I began to panic, before blurting out, "My dad is actually going to be here any minute, so we're in a bit of a hurry." Julie protested, knowing that this was a lie. I had to cover up by saying that he had texted me while we were walking. "Oh, are you girls sure you don't want to see them? It would only take a second," he said, as he inched closer to us. I apologized to him, grabbed Julie by the arm, and pulled her into the gas station. I didn't stop there, though. I dragged her all the way to the women's bathroom. All the while, she was complaining about not getting to see the horses. I had to tell her why I lied, and when she understood, she went quiet. After 5 minutes, I told her to wait there, and that I would go see if the man was gone. As I peered through the window into the parking lot, I saw that the coast was clear. So we bought what we came for, and left with a bag in each of our arms. It was dark by this point, and to avoid any other interactions with strange people with dangerous propositions, we trespassed through a field instead of walking along the main road. We both figured that would be the better route from now on. We never told our parents about this encounter, because we didn't want them to say that we could no longer go by ourselves anymore. I know that sounds like a dumb reason, but I figured if I could sniff out one potential kidnapping, I could do the same if it were to ever happen again. I was a strange kid, and I really loved books, movies, and shows related to kidnapping. The point is, I felt like I could handle this kind of situation if it came my way again. Now that I'm older, I know that mindset was incredibly stupid, since I'm now aware of the gamble I was taking. I'm lucky that was the only time that I had ever felt unsafe there. I was 23 years old when this happened, and was living in the city of brotherly love at the time, Philadelphia. The girl I was dating lived about 35 to 40 minutes outside of the city, near West Chester. After hanging out for a while, I left her place around 12:30 a.m. I really shouldn't have stayed out that late because I had an early shift that morning. As soon as I left her neighborhood, I noticed that my gas light was on. I put in directions to the nearest gas station on my GPS and drove 5 minutes to the local Wawa. I was familiar with this area. It was very low on crime, unlike many other places outside of Philly. So stopping here this late at night wasn't something that I was nervous about. There were two other cars parked there when I pulled in. I filled my tank and I realized that two of my tires were low on air. So I drove to the corner of the parking lot where they had the air pumps. I started working on my first tire. When I looked up and saw an older pickup truck pulling into the parking lot, I didn't think twice about it. Until it drove up right next to my car, the truck began backing into the area where another air pump was. Any other day, I would have just assumed that it was somebody else trying to get air into their tires. But something gave me a bad feeling. The driver exited the truck. He looked to be in his late 50s, early 60s, and had scruffy facial hair and glasses. He looked like the stereotypical creep. He just stood by his driver's side door and stared at me. This was when I began to feel uneasy.
Is your pump out of order, sir?
I asked, trying to break the tension. The man did not respond. He just kept giving me that cold stare. He finally moved away from the door and reached into the bed of his truck, his eyes never leaving me. He then produced a rope and began sprinting toward me. I immediately threw down the air nozzle and jumped into my car, which was already running. I threw it into drive, when suddenly, a hand slammed directly on my driver's side window and dragged sideways as I peeled out of there, leaving a smear. As I was driving home, my heart was pounding out of my chest for the first 10 minutes. I've never had anything like this happen to me. 2 weeks later, a girl I was friends with on Instagram posted an article about multiple kidnappings in the Westchester area. I immediately thought back to that man in the truck. I'm thankful that I was able to escape. I almost became a statistic. This happened late one night, when I was driving back home from work, on a dark and lonely highway. It was the kind of night that makes you wish that you were at home relaxing, instead of being out on the road. There were no other cars in sight, and by happenstance, I was driving through dark territory, meaning that there was no reception on my phone. I'd been driving for quite some time, and was starting to zone out a little bit. That's not to say that I was falling asleep behind the wheel. I was just sort of on autopilot. As I rounded a bend, I saw a semi-truck parked on the side of the road ahead of me. Not really anything out of the ordinary. Truckers will sometimes park off to the side to catch some shut-eye during their long trips across the country. But there was something about this truck that unnerved me. I got the feeling that whoever was behind the wheel wasn't resting. They were waiting. I slowed down as I approached the truck, and I tried to get a good look inside of the cab, but the windows were tinted, and it was very dark out, so it was like looking into a black void. I also noticed that both the truck and the trailer were completely black. After passing the truck, I sped up and returned to my original speed. I didn't want to go too fast in case a trooper was hiding out somewhere, tagging passing cars. As I continued down the road, I kept thinking back to that strange truck I saw. I couldn't shake off the feeling that I was in some kind of danger. Perhaps it was just my overactive imagination.
Damn it, get a hold of yourself. It was just a truck counting sheep on the side of the road.
Saying it out loud did not make it any more convincing. There was something off about that truck. As I was about to turn down another corner, I heard the unmistakable sound of an engine revving up behind me. I looked in my rearview mirror as a pair of headlights came up fast behind me. I panicked and pressed down on my gas pedal, but my car was nowhere near fast enough to outrun the truck. The headlights were now directly behind me, practically blinding me. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I knew that there was something up with that truck, but now I had to do everything I could to get away from it. But the road was narrow, with no side streets or exits in sight. I was trapped out here, with this massive 18-wheeler right behind me. Suddenly, a hidden trooper didn't sound too bad. As we continued down the road, the truck eventually slowed down and stayed a safe distance behind me, still not making any attempts to pass me. The truck then flicked off its headlights. Oh, hell no. I immediately sped up, looking into my rearview mirror. I could make out the vague silhouette of the truck getting further and further away as I floored it down the highway until it disappeared from view. When I finally arrived home safely, I parked my car in the driveway and went inside, making sure that all my doors and windows were locked. I was exhausted. Nothing takes it out of you like being afraid for your life out on a dark highway. I just wanted to get some sleep and put this entire thing behind me. About an hour later, I was woken up by the unmistakable sound of an idling engine coming from outside. Half asleep, I got up and looked out my window. I became fully awake once I saw what was parked outside, a black semi-truck parked in the road outside of my house. Not only was I terrified from my previous encounter, but what was equally jarring was that this massive truck was in a residential area. I have no idea how that driver maneuvered down the narrow streets. This was the first time I got a good look at the truck. It had no commercial markings on it whatsoever, so there was no chance of me calling a number to let the company know that one of their drivers is a psychopath with a bad case of road rage. Also, I never got a good look at the driver's tags, but I imagine they would have read, "Beating you." I mentally could not handle seeing the truck outside of my house. I just remember saying, "No." And crawling back into bed, I didn't have the energy to deal with this insane shit. I just remembered hearing the truck pulling away as I drifted off to sleep. To this day, I'm still not sure if the driver somehow found out where I lived, or if it was just a very vivid nightmare. The next morning, I considered calling the police to report the strange encounter, but honestly, what were they going to do? There was no damage to my car, and there was no proof of what happened out there on the highway. Over the next few weeks, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being followed. I became severely paranoid, constantly looking over my shoulder and freaking out every time I saw a dark-colored truck. One day, I was walking back from the grocery store, and I saw a black semi parked on the side of the road. After nearly having a panic attack, I was put at ease once I saw the commercial markings on the side of its trailer. I realized that it was just another semi-truck with a black paint job. What happened to me that night was terrifying, but the fear that it caused me was taking over my ability to be rational. After a while, I could not allow it to control me anymore, and I eventually had to move on with my life. It's been years, but I still think about that black semi-truck from time to time. Ultimately, this experience has taught me to trust my instincts and to be extremely cautious when driving alone on remote roads. I still wonder who was behind the wheel of that truck and what their intentions were.
When you go off to college, a lot of people warn you about the dangers that can occur on campus. But what no one warns you about is the ride home. While I'm sure most people have fun and possibly even memorable rides home from school with their family, mine was only memorable because I made it home with my life. It was the beginning of December, and the fall semester had just ended. And at the time, I had made plans with some friends back at home to go see the midnight release of a movie that was coming out instead of taking my exams and then driving home the next day. I planned to drive home as soon as I finished my schoolwork. This meant that I left campus around 4 in the afternoon. I would make it to the mall for the movie just in time. So I did just that. I left right after my last test, and I could not have been more excited to see my friends. I had about a 6.5 hour drive ahead of me, so I got comfortable and began making my way home as quickly but safely as possible. Now that being said, even though I was in a rush, I was still raised to be helpful. I was always taught growing up that if you saw someone on the side of the road, you stop and ask if they need help. Sometimes people don't need anything and you just keep driving, but you never know when someone might need you. So at around 9:30 at night, as I was driving along this dimly lit back road, when I saw a car parked on the side of the road, I didn't even hesitate. I pulled over and hopped out of my car to ask if they needed any help. Right away, I could see the car was being driven by an elderly man, and he claimed that his car had a flat tire on the passenger side and asked me if I would help him put the spare on for him. I told him of course and asked him to pop the trunk so I could get the tire out. And he did. But as I leaned into the trunk to lift up the mat that covers the spare, I felt the man press something against my neck. My entire body tensed up as I could feel the shocks from the taser that he just pressed against me fired. I keeled over forward and the man was able to easily push me and force me into the trunk of his car before slamming it shut. I recovered from being tased before we pulled off from the side of the road. But as I reached above me for the emergency handle that it's in most trunks, I couldn't find it. I could feel the tires moving as we began making our way down the secluded back street when I realized the old man had forgotten to take my phone before locking me up. He must have been in such a hurry and didn't want to risk being overpowered that it didn't even cross his mind. I squirmed around in the trunk until I could get my hand into my pocket and pull my phone out. After calling the police and telling them what road I was just on, it was only a matter of a couple of minutes before they were able to find me. I heard the sound of police sirens behind us as they pulled the elderly man over, and once the car came to a stop, I began banging on the trunk to let the officers know where I was. Once the man was in custody and I was out of the trunk, I asked the officer if he knew why the man tried to abduct me, but he didn't know why. It wasn't until the trial that we learned that this man, who I thought was old and frail, had actually confessed to abducting multiple people between the 90s and the late 2000s. I was just the lucky one.
About 4 years ago, when I was in college, I went to a university that was about 2 hours away from my girlfriend's college. I would drive down to her campus sometimes on Friday afternoons, and then we would hang out for the weekend. I would typically leave to go back on Sunday night. Usually, I would try to leave by 10 p.m. at the latest on Sunday nights to get back to my dorm on campus by midnight. I had a 9 a.m. class on Mondays after all, but many times I would stay later than I should. One time, I stayed until nearly midnight and then began driving back to my campus. Unfortunately, not long after I started driving back, maybe like 20 minutes, I began to feel very sleepy. I kept going and hoped that I would feel more awake, but I was only getting more and more tired as I went on. I was starting to struggle to keep my eyes open, and obviously, it was becoming a very dangerous situation. Then, I decided that I needed to stop and do something to help myself wake up, maybe get an energy drink or something. I kept my eyes open to the sides of the road to see if I would pass by any gas stations or rest stops. I knew that I wouldn't be able to make it much farther without falling asleep. At the next exit, I took it, and I hoped that I would come across something. The exit led me down to a quiet road, and not too far down it appeared to be a gas station. I was really happy to see it. I pulled into the parking lot, but when I did, it appeared that the store part of the gas station was closed. The lights were off inside, and there were no cars in the parking lot whatsoever. I even got out and tried the door, but it was locked. I went back to my car then and got inside. I was still extremely tired. That's when I just sat back and closed my eyes. I wasn't thinking all that clearly from being so tired, and I guess I felt that maybe I could take a brief 15-minute nap or something. All I know is when I closed my eyes, it felt so good. I started to drift off to sleep, and I was out within probably 15 seconds. The next thing I knew, I was waking up to see a car was parked next to me. I was groggy, and I almost went right back to sleep at first, but I had a bad feeling. The feeling was almost like I needed to get away from there, and I was in danger. I looked at the car that was parked next to me. It was a silver sedan, and it looked to be about 20 years old or so. Then, the driver's door opened. I felt a little bit suspicious because they parked right next to me out of all the other spaces in the parking lot. I could barely see the person as they walked around the car over to mine. When they made it around, I finally saw them. It was a man wearing a white sweatshirt with his hood up, and he had on like a type of mask that covered his whole face. It was like a costume mask of some sort, but I didn't recognize the character. When he approached my driver's window, I had no interest to stick around. I started my car up right then, and as I did, the man attempted to open my driver's door. My door was locked though, and I put my car into reverse and then backed up and drove away from him. I saw him then start sprinting back to his car as I was speeding out of the parking lot. Suddenly, I was wide awake and I didn't feel like sleeping at all. I sped onto the road and then back onto the freeway. I wasn't driving recklessly or anything, but I was definitely pushing the speed limit. When I got back onto the freeway, I saw that a car was merging right behind me, which happened to be the silver car. I had no plans to try to outrun them, and I drove at a normal pace. The guy sped up until he was right behind me. He got within probably 5 feet of the back of my car, and he stayed at that pace for a good minute or so. There were no other cars on the freeway at all. This area was really not that populated. In fact, most of the drive from my girlfriend's college to mine was just farms and woodland. I don't think I had seen another car the entire time that I was on the freeway. I sped up just a little bit, and as soon as I did, the guy behind me did as well. I switched lanes back and forth once, and he did the same. Then he sped up and hit the back end of my car. I couldn't believe it. He then crashed into it again, but this time harder. I think this guy had to be crazy or something. Then he backed off, and then went forward and hit me for a third time. This time, it was so hard that I nearly lost control of my car entirely and spun out. I sped up then because I was desperate, but as I did, I noticed way up ahead that there appeared to be a semi-truck. I kept speeding up, and so did the guy behind me. When we got sort of close to the semi, the guy behind me then switched lanes and sped off, passing both me and the semi-truck. He probably went over 100 miles per hour when he passed the truck. I slowed back down again once I made it to the semi-truck. The truck honked at me, probably seeing the damage on the backside of my car. I slowed down more and then called the police about the situation. I'm not sure why I didn't think to call the police sooner, but it's probably best, or I might have crashed or something trying to handle the phone and driving. An officer came out and pulled me over, where I was able to give my side of the story. He had me take the next exit and then stayed with me while I called my roadside service. I basically ended up staying up all night from waiting for my car to get towed and everything. I'm not sure whatever happened to the driver of the other car, whoever he was. I would recommend everybody to not drive late at night unless you have to, and especially never drive if you're tired.
I'm 27 and currently out of work. I recently got laid off at my job, as the company I worked for was starting to go under. So, in an effort to keep up with the bills, I started delivering for Uber Eats part-time. A couple of my friends suggested it, and so I figured I'd give it a try until I found another job. To my surprise, it was actually good money. The only thing I didn't like was some of the places the app had me delivered to. I live in a city with a lot of sketchy areas. I try to stay away from those areas while delivering, but there's only so much you can do. This night, a Saturday, I got a McDonald's order. I usually don't accept those ones, but this night was strangely dead. Which was weird, Saturday nights are usually the busiest for Uber Eats. Anyway, I pick up the order and start heading towards the address I'm given. Instantly, I realized it was not in the best area. But by this point, I decided to just suck it up. I pulled up to the house, and right away the vibe was off. It was completely dark with not a single light on in the house. Usually there's at least a light on upstairs, or something that would signal someone being awake and waiting for their order. But the house seemed dead. Nevertheless, I put the car in park, turned off the engine, grabbed the order, and started walking towards the door. I walked onto the porch, and as I reached for the front door, I saw it. The door was slightly cracked open. I knocked, and as I did, the door opened slightly more. I yelled out that I had an Uber Eats order, and right away some man walked to the front door, like as if he had just been waiting right there. As he got closer, I got a good look at him. Now, I'm not one to judge a person by their physical appearance, but this guy was practically covered head to toe in tattoos. The guy looked extremely intimidating, definitely not someone you'd want to mess with. He had this look of frustration, or almost anger on his face. He was staring at me dead in the eyes. I lifted up the bag of food, and he grabbed it. The guy then started reaching in his pocket. I figured he was going to give me a tip. But no, before I knew it, the guy was holding a hunting knife and pointing it in my direction. My stomach dropped, realizing the situation I was now in. I was either going to get robbed for everything I had, or worst case scenario, killed. My mind was now racing. Thinking as fast as I could, I turned around towards my car, screamed at Derek to grab the gun, and put my hand in my pocket to start my car's engine from a button on the key. But there was no Derek, and I was in no way armed. But I figured if I could somehow convince this guy I was, I gave myself a chance to get out of this. All I could do was pray that the threat along with the vehicle starting would be enough to convince this guy I didn't come here alone. And luckily it was. The guy shoved me back and slammed the front door. I ran back to my car and practically tore the door off trying to get in. I got out of there as fast as I could. I would of course end up calling the police, but I never heard anything back about whatever ended up happening. I assume they didn't find anything, and that the guy was long gone by the time they arrived on scene. But I can't confirm this. If there's one thing I'm sure of, it's how fortunate I am to own a car with a remote proximity key, as I don't think the guy would have bought the whole act if I didn't start the engine. I still drive for Uber Eats every once in a while, but I've since started carrying a knife on me at all times.
So the first event goes down when I took a delivery to a nice big house in a peaceful suburban neighborhood. This middle-aged guy had to be in his late 50s or 60s, answers the door and invites me in while he goes to grab his wallet. Any other time, I'd have opted to stay outside on the porch, but the house was seriously impressive looking from the outside that I wanted to check out what kind of interiors it had going on. So I follow him to his back porch but stop dead in my tracks when I notice the large TV screen that's playing some kind of hardcore adult movie. When he noticed I had stopped, and that it was making me uncomfortable, he didn't bother to apologize or turn it off. In fact, he seemed to like the idea that he was basically forcing me to watch something so sleazy, and beckoned me to come out onto the porch to join him. Naturally, I declined, got the money, and left. The other thing happened at an extended stay hotel that had a real bad rep, mostly from fellow delivery drivers who ended up getting robbed or jumped. So I follow the delivery instructions and head around to a side door where I find I actually needed a code to get in. Luckily, a guy sticks his head out of the window and says the pizza's for him, adding that he'll be right down to pick it up. As I'm waiting for the guy to let me in, someone else comes along and lets me in, so I ended up meeting the guy on the stairs. Now, rather than exchanging money and leaving as you might expect, the guy tells me he doesn't have the money. Some other guy back in the room has it and asks me to come upstairs with him. With the first red flag tingling in the back of my head, I step into the elevator with him. The doors close and he says something to the effect of, "Hey, check this out," and begins to lift his shirt. Second and third red flags here. Under his shirt, he's been wrapped with bandages around his stomach. I'll save you the graphic details, but it was obviously a bad wound, a stab wound if I had to guess. He proceeds to confirm that he was in fact stabbed the other night, and that it was on the news and that I might have seen it, and after a pause in the conversation, that it hurts a lot. With the most awkward silence ever, we step off the elevator, go to his room, and he pops inside before coming back to invite me inside. Now, two thoughts go through my mind. Either this is the dumbest setup for a robbery I'd ever seen, or the couch guy is really, really lazy. I eventually settle on the fact that if this were a robbery, the guy probably wouldn't have advertised this gaping stab wound, and I kinda wanted to meet the laziest man in the world. So I step in the door, careful not to let freshly mixed stab wounds get my back. Inside, there's an older white-haired man on the couch and a young tweaked-out girl. The man hands the money to the girl, and naturally, it's $100 bill, and that's the only cash he has. So reluctantly, I make change for him out of my own money, conclude the transaction, and hastily retreat from what I can only assume was some kind of meth house.